Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, thanks for joining us this week. Now, each week as you listen to the show, I really hope, number one, you feel my passion about helping you change whatever it is that is going on in your life, right? Whether you've chosen the change or it's been thrust upon you, I truly hope my guests and I provide tips and strategies for you to navigate when change hits you, right? Now, to help you on this journey, I'm excited to announce that I just launched an all-star community membership for you. And for me, the theme of it is a rising tide lifts all boats, one of my favorite quotes by John F. Kennedy. So again, I hope that you will join me. The link is in the show notes if you choose to follow me and join my community. I'd love to have you. Now, my quote today for the show is by Pablo Picasso. And Pablo says, our goals can only be reached through a vehicle of a plan in which we must fervently believe and upon which we must vigorously act. There's no other route to success. Now, I really chose this quote because for me, the word plan is kind of critical. And to have financial freedom, the first thing that any of us need to do is create a plan and then have it, make sure it's customized for us and whatever our family needs are. Now, I was raised to save for a rainy day, right? You've heard that expression. And it really was good advice that served me well, especially when COVID hit. And some of you, most of you know my story. In March of 2020, the world shut down. My income stopped. My husband's company closed. We had two kids in college and zippo in income. So what do you do? Well, you keep spending the money because I was pivoting my business already, right? So continue to spend the money. We needed to go through our savings. And thank God we had a year of savings in the bank. Now, here's the reality. How many times have you hit rough patch during your life? And the reality is none of us are immune to those type of pitfalls. Without a plan, you might be navigating devastating results versus coming through the other end in one piece. So today, my guest is Lisa Sakai. I hope I said that right, Lisa.
You did.
And Lisa founded One Vision Retirement with two ideas in mind, a client first approach and a focus on advice and planning. Notice that word again. Her mission, simple, to cut through the noise and provide thoughtful, customized financial advice tailored for your personal situation. So Lise, thanks for being on and just sharing the importance of having a plan, right? That's really what it's about.
It really is. That's the key to, like you said, financial freedom.
Yeah. And, you know, I share that story because it, you know, you see your clients, right? Working with my clients, we all hit hard times. It's a reality in life. So if we don't have that financial freedom or at least a plan in place for the short as well as the long term, mm-hmm. we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, right? And that's why I love that quote, because planning is kind of a critical piece in life, but especially when it comes to money, right? And finances.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And having an objective too, having a why. Obviously, Pablo Picasso, we know him from his artwork, and he had a reason why he was painting what he was painting, what he wanted to tell. And we have to have that same kind of why and reason and motivation to get through really doing the plan, because, you know, to be frank, it's not something that people are jumping up and down excited to do. A lot of the times it's a chore, but it's something that if we can really find that focus and that objective of why we're doing it, it helps us get through those rough patches. So absolutely.
Yeah. And I remember when I first started 40 years ago, a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my first clients, they were a younger couple and he was the sole provider and had two little girls and he needed life insurance. So mm-hmm. I went but as I started looking and asking questions, I realized that they really didn't have the budget for the life insurance. So two things, you either walk away and say, I can't help you, or you like me. And I know you're like me in this. Yeah. I sat down and I said, all right, let's put together a budget. Let's look at all of your income coming in. Let's look at all of your fixed costs going out and let's mm-hmm. look at the things you're spending money on. Maybe we can tweak it or put you on a little bit of a budget. So we ended up doing that. And it took about 6 months, lease, before I actually sold them the life insurance, because my fear was had I sold it, it was $50 a month or whatever, let's just say, within 6 months, it would have lapsed. So they would have lost $300, right? Out the window. Yep. They still wouldn't have had the insurance and they would have been in further financial distress. To me, that's a lose, lose, lose situation. So when we come up with a plan or help people come up with a plan, and his why was he wanted to protect his kids and his wife, that they wouldn't lose the house had something happened to him, right? So that's really the importance of a plan, because you never know. You never know when devastation or even a simple glitch can happen in life.
Right. Exactly. And that's true. I mean, I have that same story that you do where I was starting, it's almost very similar. I was starting my business and my husband needed to make a shift in his career and we had no income coming in for 6 months. And luckily, again, we were planners. We hadn't worked with a planner before, but we had actually saved and put money away. It was stressful though. And we were supporting a part of our family as well. On top of that, I mean, it was very stressful, but having that money there, seeing it go down is not fun, but having that there was definitely a peace of mind and gave us time to make choices so that we weren't making decisions that were desperate decisions. We were making decisions that were going to put us in a better place in the long time. And I always say, when you have financial freedom or financial independence, when you can make choices. And that's always the key to planning, is instead of thinking, oh, I'll get to that, or I don't want to sit down and do my budget. Think about the choices that you might have down the line and wanting to be able to make the choice that's best for you and that you want to make versus I have to make this choice or I have to go this direction because I haven't done anything. I haven't done any kind of plan to allow myself to make those choices.
Yeah. We don't want the decision to be made for us.
Exactly.
Right.
A decision is always made. Like you said, a decision is always made. It's just whether it's made for us or we get to make it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Why do you think so many people have fear when it comes to looking or changing something in their financial picture, right? Whatever that is, right? Whether you're starting out, you're retiring, it doesn't matter. Why is there fear associated with finance? Have you found in your, your clients?
Yeah. So I've been doing this for 11 years. And when I got into this, I started in the insurance end, just like you did. A lot of us do that side of it and moved into financial planning very quickly because we care and we love working with people.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how much emotion was attached to money and to finances. And a lot of times it comes from background, from memories, money memories. Mm-hmm. A lot of advisors the first question they'll ask is, what's your first money memory? Because it gives them a sense of where the client is coming from. Mm-hmm. I had my own baggage when it came to money, just feeling not very smart when it came to money because I hadn't gotten that education like many of us women don't. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, growing up, there's really no classes anymore that's teaching us about this. So there's a lot of emotion attached to it. So fear is the biggest one because fear of looking stupid. That was it. So I just made no choices or I made no decisions because I didn't want to look stupid. I was college educated. I was a smart woman. And yet I still didn't understand when my husband once said to me, you know, should we put our money from the bank into something to get a better interest rate? I didn't understand what he was talking about. You know, this was 12, 13 years ago. That decision to just not do anything was not a good decision because we lost compound interest and other things that could have happened to that money.
Yeah.
And so fear really holds us back because the fear of change to prioritize yourself, because that's really what we're trying to do.
That's right.
Is prioritize ourselves. And as loving, wonderful people, we don't tend to do that. We want to put everybody ahead of ourselves, take care of everyone else. So that fear really kind of comes out of having put the spotlight on ourselves. So I think that's the biggest fear that people have, plus those emotions from past history, stories, you know, mom couldn't make it so that she couldn't get food on the table. And so we had to get food stamps. That will weigh on somebody as their financial decisions happen. So a lot of that stuff comes into play. I mean, right now the market's not doing well. That's all emotional based. So understanding that emotions are going to be tied to financial pieces of your life is probably the best thing that you can do to kind of overcome that fear.
And the thing is baby steps, right? It's mm-hmm. not like, okay, so let's come up with a plan to get $1 million. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's what can we watch in our budget and, you know, maybe look at some of the subscriptions you have on for TV. Are you watching mm-hmm. all of them? You know, $5 here, $5 there, right? It's little things that make that huge impact. But most of us just sign up for things or we spend money without thinking, you know, Starbucks coffee on our way to work every day, whatever it might be. I remember I was in my business now, I was teaching and we were talking about, it happened to be a bank, the client, and we were talking about how can we talk to people when they say, oh, I can't save, right? Because your job is to help them come up with a plan. Right. And so one woman, I went around the room and I go, okay, who buys Starbucks coffee? And, you know, some people raise their hand, who buys Dunkin', whatever. Well, Starbucks is quite expensive, right? So one woman, she goes, but I need my Starbucks. I said, well, 2 cups a day. I said, let's add that up. You know, and when we added it up, her jaw dropped. I said, I'm not saying eliminate Starbucks coffee. That's going to kill you. You're so enthralled, right, with Starbucks. But do you need it 2 times a day, 5 days a week? She's like, no, now that I know what it's costing me. Yeah. So sometimes it's just shining a light. And I said, maybe do it 3 times a week, right? Look at now that money. Consciously take that extra money that you're not buying Starbucks and put it in a savings account, right? It's as simple as something like that, that I don't think people often see because we think, oh, I don't have the money. I just don't have the money. Listen to people. They'll say that I don't have the money. You don't? Or are you spending it on something maybe that you could change, right? That's the idea too. It's change something, not everything. Like again, instead of going to Starbucks 5 days a week, go 3 days a week. The other thing I wanted to comment on, Lisa, that I'm giggling over here, the money talk, our money issues, right, that we bring to the table. My mom, God bless her, she just turned 93. She was a 1929. She was a the depression baby, right? She was a depression baby.
Oh, wow. Well,
think about her and my dad growing up with that decade after the crash, right?
Yeah.
It was bad. So they knew literally what it was to not have money. So all of those money issues obviously were handed down to us. Yeah. You know, my mom would say things like money doesn't grow on trees. We don't have the money for that. We're broke. We weren't broke, right? So they're the kinds of things that I think the baggage, like you were talking about, that we all have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad comes to mind actually, because he grew up. So my I'm half Japanese, and my family on that side were in the internment camps, and we had, you know, we went through that whole thing. I won't go into the whole thing, but basically, he was raised with my grandparents who were very conscious about money. They wanted to retire early. They followed this real estate book religiously. I found all this out recently, which I thought was fascinating.
Interesting.
But they had plenty of money. My grandfather retired at age like 52 or something. I mean, they were able to do that. But my dad was raised wearing 2 pairs of pants and two shirts. That's it. And they were raised living very, very low on the income scale, even though my grandparents were putting this money away. And I can see how it created a little bit of resentment. And then at the same time, it created the opposite with me when my dad was, you know, my dad was an orthopedic surgeon. We were very blessed with everything, but he never said no to anything. And so it's funny because then it's just funny how that all works. You know, you kind of take things, and sometimes people adopt exactly what they got from their families. Yes. And sometimes they switch it completely the opposite. And so it's just kind of funny how that works. Is very interesting how money works in families.
It's fascinating. It's such an important topic too. That's what the funny thing is, but extremes in either, no matter what, in life, money, food, whatever, extremes just aren't good. So even though he was able to retire at 52, living as if they lived in poverty, right?
It's the
extremes. And then your dad's like, spend the money. You know, it's not good on either side, right? We need to kind of bring the pendulum somewhere in the middle. So talking about that, how do you work with your clients so that they can create or look at that change? Like you said, one of the questions you ask is, what's your earliest money memory? I love that you asked that, by the way. But how do you help people get that shift in perspective? Forget about what to invest in. We're not even talking about that, right? Because that's not important. You have to customize that per person. But let's look at how do you shift or help them shift that mindset, shine the light on their blind spots, and help them develop that plan? Because this could help the listeners of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So we go through a couple of steps. One is I really focus on why they want to do what they're doing. So I always talk about the Start With Why, the Simon Sinek book, and he talks about business a lot, but that is the same concept with talking to yourself. It's a conversation with yourself and with your spouse about what your why is. It helps you stay grounded in those tough times, you know, because we all go through times of, maybe we didn't make the bonus that we thought we were going to make. Maybe the job
breaks down
through, something happens, right? Yeah. And so therefore you've got to stay true to your why and understand that it's a flexible journey, that if you don't hit your $200 a month that you're saving or whatever every single month, it's okay, but you've got to keep moving forward and trying every single month. And that why can really get you there. You know, remembering why we're doing this. Is it to, I have a client who's trying to retire her mom. Saving is really important because she is trying to save for herself. And part of her savings is going to her fund to retire her mom someday. And so it's kept her very motivated. And that's the other thing that we do. It's a little different here is we focus on enjoyment. I hate to say it, but it's bucket list items, because remembering that you need to live your life now and also saving for future can help keep you motivated. So I have a client who had wanted to go to Vienna for her entire life. She's got some family out there. She's never met in person and anything like that. And we focused on how to get her there, and she got to go or book her trip. She's not going till next year, which we all understand why. But essentially she is going 6 years earlier than she thought she was going to, because we focused in on that. And she is actually above her retirement goal that she had set originally, because we used both enjoying life now with motivating yourself to save for your future together. And that's the way it should be, because there's so many people now who think, and this is true for them probably, I don't want to retire. I love what I do. I don't like the idea of retiring. What would I do at life? That's okay. But again, it goes back to choices, right? When do you want the choice to be able to hang it up if you do? When do you want the choice to be able to slow down? Maybe your body makes a choice for you.
That's right.
And you can't do this anymore. So it's kind of a balancing act of all that stuff, but we shouldn't ever just think, I think people get very caught up in the fear of saving for something 20, 30 years from now feels really strange. And so if you can link these immediate bucket list items we want to try to take care of in the next couple of years to saving for yourself in the future, it really helps ground it, and it really helps motivate people, because they can see the fruits of their labor a lot sooner than 30 years from now when they finally retire.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember when my husband and I first got married, you know, we rented for 2 years. And during that 2 years, we lived on one income and one paycheck went in the bank, full paycheck plan, right? We had a plan. So one paycheck went in the bank. We lived off one paycheck. Our friends were going on trips and vacations. Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed. My mom and dad had bought a house down on the Jersey Shore when I was 5 years old. So, you know, 55 years ago. So when we got married, that would be our vacation. We would go down the shore for a couple of weeks in the summer. And so I was lucky, right? But I would say, how are they like ever going to buy a house, because that was my objective. My husband and I, our objective was to buy a home, but that doesn't mean everybody, they were single. A lot of them were single. Yeah. That didn't mean they should buy a home. So see, it's funny how we get caught up in our own perspective and then look around and judge others. It's exactly. Ridiculous. We shouldn't do that. Our plan was we're going to rent for 2 years and we're going to buy. This is our plan. Bank a paycheck, live off one, right? Do with, you know, not that we did without, because we did things, right?
Yeah.
But it's that pleasure versus balance, and not, you know, we chose not to travel and do all those trips because we felt blessed to have the house at the beach, right? So all of these things are choices, but they're choices that you get to make. And I want to just comment on something you said. Retiring, right? I love what I do. So I told my husband 10 more years when I hit 70, I don't necessarily want to stop working, but I don't want to have to work as hard as I'm working now, right? Because we're still paying off college debt. We still have a mortgage. We want to eliminate that by the time we retire, right? All these plans.
Right.
So I said to him, God willing, right? Then my body holds out. And that's exactly what you're saying. The choice is 70, right? But what if something else happens and I can't travel, you know, with my client? So we have to have those plans in place so that if life, you know, hits us, COVID, right, that we have at least a plan, and then we could shift the plan. And I think you said that as well, the flexibility, right?
Yeah. Flexibility is really key. I think people oftentimes think of, when it comes to their financial future, that it's a straight line. Well, obviously we're seeing right now, you know, this is a time in the markets that are crazy right now. I mean, markets are down a significant amount. You know, we've got high inflation, other things. Things need to shift. And we're starting to have conversations about different strategies with clients that I never thought I would ever recommend. But it's a good fit to take care of this switch that we need to make, because the economy has changed and the market's changed and other things like that. And so it's never a straight line. It's definitely a curvy line, just like everything, just like your career path and everything else. So we've got to remember that really our financial journey is just the same as every other part of our journey. I wish it was a straight line. It would make it easier for everybody, but it's got to be flexible. And that's probably one of the biggest takeaways I've learned over these years, is being flexible also means being flexible of where you place your money, having liquidity someplace. You know, we get very caught up in getting the tax deduction, but sometimes that balance, like we talked about, start from the beginning, the balance of everything means that you've got to have some place to go to take some money out if something should happen that goes beyond an emergency fund, beyond something. Liquidity is important. Thinking about taxes and retirement, there's always a balance on stuff. And all of that shifts with new regulations, new this, that, the other thing. It can throw wrenches in things.
Yeah. And you have to be aware of what's available, right? My son just got a new job, and very exciting, great company, all of that. And they match the 401k, but for him, because he's not making, you know, six figures yet. He just graduated. So he's going to do the 401k. They match it. You want to definitely put that percentage, because you want to leave money on the table.
Yeah.
But we said to him, do a Roth IRA, because you don't need the tax write-off, but you get the tax-free growth. So you can, again, it's a bucket. Now, as he earns more money, the Roth is going to fade away. But what he puts in, that'll be all compounding for his life. So life changes, your income changes, your goals have to change accordingly. You know, once you have a house, now you have your costs go up a little bit. Maybe you can't save as much. That doesn't mean stop saving. So again, it's the ebbs and flows in life, the ebbs and flows of your income, the ebbs and flows of the economy. There's a lot of things we can't control, but there's a lot of things you can control. Yeah. So you help people, if I'm understanding, Lise, you help people really focus on the things they can control. Like you said, the economy is right. The 401ks are kind of, you know, in the toilet right
that's
now.
That's a great way of putting it. I love it.
What goes down is going to go back up. What goes up is going to come down, right? That's just the way life is. So again, it's those little shifts that I think are, it doesn't have to be a total overhaul. Again, the little steps add up to the big.
Exactly.
What are some things, someone listening, let's say, and now that we've got their juices flowing, thinking, What little changes can I make to my financial picture? What are some of the things someone could do right now after listening to our show that they could put into place to, again, gain a little bit more control over money, finance, whatever their financial situation is for the short as well as the long term?
Right. Well, first and foremost, I would say really figure out what your why is, what your objective is at the end of all this. You know, if it is just to retire, great. What kind of retirement are we looking at? What kind of having a really clear picture will help tremendously. And then I would say another step people can do is take a look at their savings. You know, a lot of times we kind of get stuck in a rut. We're always kind of just saving, you know, the same $200 we've always saved or whatever it is. My husband does this, and I think it's a really good idea, which is play a game with yourself. See if you can push the limit a little bit. See if you can save a little bit more. You know, if it's 200, let's see if we can go to 250. Let's see if we can, and make it kind of fun. Like, what can I do now? And if that means looking at your budget and maybe cutting out a day of Starbucks, then that's what we need to do, right? But play a game with yourself, because if you make it fun for yourself, you're going to do it more often. And I would say the biggest shift that people can do is actually do automatic savings, have it move automatically from one bank account to the other bank account or to the investment account or whatever that thing is that's right for your situation for it to move into. Because if it's automatic, then you don't have to think about it. It's not something that you've got to remember, oh, on the 15th of every month, I got to go in and push it over. However, you don't want to become lackadaisical about that. You don't want to completely forget that you're putting away money. You do want to look at it. You want to try to challenge yourself, but keep it automatic so that when life gets busy, you're still saving. You're just not remembering that you're saving, right? Yeah. And I would say another shift people can really take a look at is liquidity. So if they imagine a setback happening, where are they going to go to get the money that they need? Liquidity can play a huge part in that, because if everything's in your 401k, if everything's in an IRA, the taxes you have to pay, and if you're under 59 and a half, the extra penalties you might have to pay can put you into a multi-year spiral, because you're paying taxes on things you took out the year beforehand, and then that can push your income up for another year. It can turn into a little bit of a feel like a whirlwind you can't get out of. And so really looking at where are you going to be pulling money if something should happen so that you have that liquidity is important.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine, her son would stop at Wawa every day. So she was on the account with him, you know, from when he was a kid. He just never changed the account. It was a regular checking account. And so she went to put money in and looked, and she said, "Do you own stock in Wawa?" And he said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, you're at Wawa every day." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I stop on my way to work. I get a banana and a Powerade." She goes, "Okay, did you hear of Costco?" He's like, "What? Kid, right? Typical kid." And she said, "Go to Costco. That Wawa, that when you go to Wawa, that Powerade's $2. You could get it for 25 cents at Costco." Yeah. And so he laughed. He goes, "Oh, I never thought of that." So she went and got him the keys. "Remember to put it in your refrigerator." And she bought him bananas, right? So all of a sudden, like a month later, he goes, "Oh my," he made it a game. He goes, "Oh my goodness, Ma." He goes, "Do you know, I'm brown bagging it now. I bought a little cooler instead of stopping for lunch." So he challenged himself all these different ways that just by planning, he bought a little cooler for the car so that he put the ice pack in, he could put a sandwich in, his Powerade in, and they would stay cold. He ended up saving like ridiculous amounts of money and was able to buy a house. So it's little things. It's just little things. Now, had she not gone into his account, maybe that conversation never would have happened. But she had me hysterical. She was like, "Yeah, yes, if you have Wawa, you buy him Wawa stock." So it's just those little things that we are unaware that we're doing. Because you said it before, we're on autopilot and we don't think about, well, wait a minute. If I go to Costco, I just have to put that in the fridge and then buy a cooler, which costs me $10, right? And there you go. You're saving, you know, really tens of thousands of dollars a year because he was doing that every day. So it's little things like that. Another quick tip I'll give. I have a good friend. We've known each other 30 years. Every time he got a raise when we were working, you know, we're both regionals. And every time he got a raise, that extra money, they were living off the regular money, mm-hmm. that extra money he would put into a savings account. And his goal was to have $1 million in the bank by the time he was 40.
Oh, wow. So,
yes. But how smart was that? Because you're used to living at that income. Now, all of a sudden, more money comes into your account. You're like, you know, I really want to buy those shoes. There's extra money in the checking account. Let me buy those shoes. Yeah. Versus, wait a minute, there's really no more money extra. Let me take that and put it for the future. So that was his why. To his goal was $1 million at 40.
Yeah, it helps us avoid those Amazon purchases that we really don't need, right? Amazon. Mm-hmm. Card is always, it's a problem for me too. So I get it.
We all have our go-to. We're not saying not to shop on Amazon because there are some good deals there.
Exactly.
It's just, it's mindful. It's always,
Be mindful. Leave it in the cart for a couple of days and see if you really need it. Right.
That's a good piece of advice too. I like that one. Exactly. Yeah. Think overnight, right? When my listeners think overnight before you buy, I hope that, you know, your tips are amazing. I like the idea of the why. I like the idea of asking what your earliest money memory, because when we could tap into that energy, then we can make decisions on fact, not on that emotional trigger of whatever was, right? Which could be from, like you said, your grandpa, your dad, or whoever it is. And then again, these little tips that we just shared, you know, you take a few dollars there and a few dollars here, and it doesn't have to be a painful process. And I love your idea of your husband playing the game. Ooh, let's do a little more and let's see if we can, you know, that challenge of self. Again, and what is the reward on the back end? For my friend, it was $1 million at 40, whatever your objective is. Guys, I think you need more Lisa in your life. So website, if you want to check out, go to onevisionretire.com. If you want to have a conversation with Lisa, email her at lisa@onevisionretire.com. I promise I will put that in the show notes for you so that you can find her easy peasy. Lisa, thanks again. Just such a great conversation to get us on that road of change. For me, it's really about financial freedom, right? Whatever that means to you. But that's what I think our conversation was based on today. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. This is wonderful. Thank you for having me. And thank you for letting me share some thoughts to, you know, listeners out there. And hopefully it helps.
Yeah. Control what you can. And money, you know, some things we can't control, right? The car breaks down or whatever. But if you can control it, come up with a plan, and then that plan needs to change over time as well. Well, just like life changes. So thank you so much for your insight and just for your level of care as it relates to a tough topic, right? Money is a tough topic. So again, thank you for your compassion from that perspective too. It's appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you again for having me.
Oh, loved having you. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge yourself so that we can all embrace change, no matter what that means to you. Today, our conversation focused on money. So again, I hope that Lisa's tips and my ideas and little tips that I've shared as well, take that information. And Lisa, I say this at the end of every show to everybody listening, right? It's wonderful to learn information. When you do nothing with it, it's just information. When you put it into place or into action, that's when the magic happens. So if you could save $25 a week, magic starts happening, right? You'll be able to take a trip a year from now or 2 years from now. So again, little changes add up to the big. Take 1, 2, 3 of the tips that we shared today and apply them in your life. And let's see the magic that happens. I am honored to have you on this journey with me. I wish you all an amazing week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Have an inspired week, a financially inspired week. And I'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great one.